Every morning, my neighbor gets in a big, loud truck, jets off to a local coffee shop, and comes back 10 minutes later with a coffee for him and his wife. There's a lot of noise, there's a lot of disruption, there's probably a bunch of cost, and there's going to also be some pollution. Drones would be better, and drone delivery is here, it's real, it's happening, it's not science fiction, but it's not broadly available. Here to chat about is Bobby Healy from Mana Aero in Ireland, which has already completed over 100,000 drone deliveries. Welcome to Tech First, Bobby.
Thanks, John. Pleasure to be here again.
Absolutely, second time. You just expanded some new markets, isn't that true?
That's right, yeah. Well, we started off in Ireland. We're on our third operation now in Ireland, and we'll be announcing the location of our fourth one in the next 2 months, I think. And so we're going to be going to another very large population in Dublin, about 120,000 people here in the suburbs of Dublin, and a greater population density, actually, than most of London. So it will be probably by far the largest or most complex drone delivery operation on the planet, we think. Not the largest by volume, but certainly the most complex. Number of aircraft, population density we're going to be supporting. And we have chosen our second European market. We haven't announced it yet, but it will be a different language than English, which is the beauty of working in Europe. But yeah, so we've identified our second European market, and we also announced that we're going to be operating in the USA this year. We don't yet have a date because we're still going through our getting our license from the FAA. So fingers crossed that will be sooner rather than later. But yeah, we're not there yet. Nobody is to go full throttle up scaling. We're more interested in demonstrating we can operate in multiple markets, and that we can do, say, 1,000 deliveries a day in a very dense area. And so that's what we'll be doing by this summer. We'll be doing 1,000 deliveries a day in Dublin.
Nice. So Europe, some country that does not speak English. My mind is buzzing, whether that's France, Germany, not sure. We'll find out. Spain, I can imagine, maybe. A couple interesting. And the U.S., very interesting. Did you take on some new funding recently to help you expand?
We're funded now. I mean, we're kind of one of those companies that's always raising capital. Drone delivery is a hungry game to be in. The private markets are not great, as everyone knows, but in the end, it is a $1 trillion-plus industry. Mm-hmm. Right? If you look at ARK Invest, Cathie Wood's team produced some great research recently, very bullish on the space. And certainly it's more than a $700 billion industry towards $1 trillion. So there is a lot of capital available, not to say that it's a great market to be trying to raise capital in. Nevertheless, we're funded till the end of 2024 right now.
Nice.
And so we have, I won't say that we're flush with capital, but we're in a good, strong position, driven, I think, in large part by the fact that we're in Europe, we're making solid progress here on our unit economics, which is what counts. Mm-hmm. And so fingers crossed and touch wood, it'll keep going like
almost
that.
Almost nothing better for a startup than to raise at the right time when it's available and not too crazy expensive, and to have it when you need it and not have it.
Yeah. There's never a bad time to raise more money. Never a bad time, but sometimes a bad price.
Yes, exactly. That's a challenge. Talk a little bit about the state of the art right now, your drone, its size, its load, its flight time, delivery distance, all that stuff.
Yeah. So our ZX drone, which is our latest aircraft, carries, I'm going to calculate on the fly here, about 7.5 pounds of cargo, 3.5 kilos, and 30,000 cubic centimeters. Don't ask me to translate that into cubic inches. It's very
large. It's a
large,
small car.
Right? So no, I tell you, it takes 8 pints of Guinness, which is obviously the international metric now. Yeah. So it's big, and we've basically designed it for the single basket grocery market, so we can take 90%+ of the convenience store trips we can carry. And volume is a bigger constraint or difficult thing to power than weight, believe it or not. Volume becomes a cubic problem, weight is a linear one. And so our new aircraft can take literally 90%+ of the orders that go out from one of the big food delivery companies we can now carry.
Wow. And how far?
So how long is a piece of string? So you take into account weight, distance, and weather, right? So as you know, we're flying in Ireland right now. Yeah, so ground speed, we fly at 16 to 18 meters per second ground speed, and now in a 15 meter per second wind, which is, you know, when you combine the two, right, you'd say 30 meters per second, you're at nearly a 95 kilometer an hour effective speed, airspeed, you have to be flying now, which is big. So you take that and distance, and so it translates to, in Europe, we think a roughly 2 to 5 kilometer radius operation is perfect. Mm-hmm. And in the USA, we think that's about 40% more, just because the USA is spread out more. Mm-hmm. And our aircraft can handle that with its eyes closed. And we have about a 40% buffer in the tank. Worst case, flight envelope and weather brings us back a 40%. So way over budgeted on energy requirements, but, you know, it lets you sleep better at night.
Nice. Let's talk a little bit about competition. There's a ton there. Obviously, if it's $1 trillion market, there's going to be. Amazon has Prime Air. Apparently, they did 10 houses in their first month, so not off to an amazing start. Google has
the
Wing.
First 10 are the hardest.
What's that?
Yeah. Wing are awesome. Amazon are solving a different problem than the rest of us are solving, right? So Amazon are looking, it looks like, to solve very long range backyard delivery, 5-pound cargo. So in other words, power the Amazon business. Mm-hmm. And hats off to Amazon. It's a wonderful piece of engineering. Nearly impossible what they've achieved with a copter design. And yeah, I mean, it may not look great what they've achieved, but they've achieved a lot. And they're not like a private company like us. They don't have the same need for pace as we do. Mm-hmm. So like a lot of people like to kind of point at them as not having done a great job. They have. Their engineering, their aircraft is a fantastic piece of technology, but solving a different problem than we are. And I look at Wing, and
Let's hit Amazon just for a second there, yeah, and then go on to Google, because that is really interesting. Amazon knows who they deliver to right now. They run their own trucks in a lot of cases. They know exactly what the addresses are. They know exactly what the packages are. You talked about weight versus volume. I very often get an Amazon package that is massive and weighs a tiny amount, right? And so there's a lot of stuff that they can apply to build a solution that works for them. That is an interesting point.
Yeah, but the stat circles around a lot of places. I keep hearing it coming back, but essentially 90%+ of Amazon deliveries are 5 pounds or less. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You know, so they do a lot of those small ones. And I think, I can't speak for Amazon, but I know that the range, the requirements that they've put in their aircraft kind of suggest that they want to use that for those kind of rural deliveries that are just break the efficiency of their normal truck model, right? And that makes a lot of sense.
And that might be a bet by Amazon.
They're solving a different problem.
That might be a bet by Amazon that rural deliveries are going to get approvals in the U.S. faster than really big city urban environments. I don't know.
It certainly, from a pragmatism point of view, you definitely shoot for a lower population density. But if I was living on a farm, I wouldn't consider myself any more dispensable than someone living in a suburb, right? Yes. I mean, the law of large numbers says if you fly enough aircraft, even in rural situations, and it's not safe, someone's going to mm-hmm. pay the price. So you're right in one sense, it's easier. Like our first operation was in a rural area, and funnily, we had all the restrictions that Amazon have now. That's 3 years ago here in Ireland, and we had to pause if we're crossing a road, all those things that you've heard about Amazon. That's a natural, it's crawl, walk, run, right? It's kind of, you don't get permission to fly as the crow flies until you've done a lot of delivery flights. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. while the regulations are black and white and there's rules, there's also a big element of, well, show me the proof, mm-hmm. show me the data, mm-hmm. and you have to collect that. So like I wouldn't hesitate to stand underneath an Amazon aircraft flying over my head, you know. So that's all I need to know. I know the engineers behind that, and it's going to be an awesome product. Is it the right product right now? I don't know, but it certainly deserves to be flying. Yeah. And yeah. I wish I had their budget to spend on my aircraft, but I don't. And our problem is much easier to solve, by the way. We're short-range copter, heavier cargo, but the key thing is short-range. And once you ask a copter to go beyond 3 or 4 miles, you start to get into this cliff of, you know, it just becomes a really hard problem to solve. Well, whereas, as you know, Wing and others have solved that with a wing.
Great segue. I mean, Google is solving that by basically having a traditional aircraft, you know, vertical takeoff or landing, but also flight that is not necessarily supported by the engine having to keep, you know, like a helicopter, a traditional drone.
Yeah.
Interesting
yeah.
model for you.
Yeah, no, definitely. You know, it's harder to do what Wing are doing, because to make that safer, you've got all these control surfaces, you know, your rudders, your ailerons, you've got all these other things going on. And you notice from Wing, they've 12 propellers for the vertical part of it. So that's where their redundancy comes from. It's not that they need all of those props. It's that those, for the vertical part and the delivery phase, which is the most dangerous, you need a lot of redundancy, and hence 12 vertical props. Yeah. So you get a lot more efficiency, of course, from forward flight. But we actually deprioritize forward flight, and we say, look, our range requirements are not what Wing's are, because Wing started off rural Australia, rural America, and even suburban America is much more spread out. Our bet is that the opportunity to commercialize drone delivery at scale is in Europe, way ahead of it being in the United States and other countries like Canada, and I could list them. But the US is the furthest behind in terms of readiness for scale operations. And with that comes a kind of almost an easier task of, well, look, the range in Europe is much shorter. Your typical population center of 500,000 people is 3 mile radius and you're done. Even two mile radius and you're done. So, yeah, so you kind of, it's likely that we'll have a different aircraft for the US than we will for Europe. But the certainly we expect to be generating significant revenue in 2024. And there's nobody going to be doing that in the USA in 2024.
Super interesting, because obviously there's dense population centers in North America as well. You've got San Francisco, you've got New York, you've got... But those are incredibly busy, busy population centers, skyscrapers, wires, really challenging places to fly around. I'm sure that it can be done. I'm sure that you can do it, but the regulatory process has got to be quite insane for that. But that's also, I mean, like, there's got to be opportunity.
Jaxel, the density we're flying over now, John, is more dense than San Francisco. We're flying over 10,000 people per square mile. That's much more dense than San Francisco. Wow. You know, when you take the high rise out of it, it's more dense, and we're delivering to apartment blocks, all that stuff. Actually, the issue in San Francisco and LA and places like that is the complexity of the airspace, the amount of aviation, general aviation traffic going over there, and most of it without even transponders.
Wow.
You start to get into it. Okay, well, how do you identify all of that? Whereas Europe has this concept called U-space that pretty much forces conspicuity amongst all aircraft, general aviation and drones. And you've got this really elegant but simple solution to sharing the airspace. It's actually, it's not the ground risk that everyone's worried about. It's the air risk, i.e. mid-air collisions and disruption to general aviation, less so than the ground risk. And the ground risk is addressed through good aircraft, certified, reliable aircraft, and provably reliable. That's an engineering problem, but air mitigation is more of a stakeholder coordination problem, which is much more politically difficult. Putting it politely.
I can see that. I can see that. And yet so much opportunity, right? I mean, like, how much does it cost to have somebody sit in the traffic in San Francisco or LA to deliver something? I mean, I've sat in that traffic in both those places. New York, too. I've taken 2 hours from the airport to downtown New York. It's a disaster.
Yeah, 100%. No, nobody. No, I mean, it costs about $11 to deliver a hamburger. right, in the USA, even more as you go further distances, right? And everybody in San Francisco wants drone delivery.
Yes.
Literally. So there's such a need, both a problem to solve in terms of the economics of delivery and a customer need for it. Like, everybody wants this thing to work. But unfortunately, through a combination of reasons, mostly structural, just about the number of stakeholders and their strength and the size of general aviation, the model helicopter, model plane, all of these different stakeholders, and I won't say vested interest, but they have a reasonable expectation to continue life as it always was. Mm-hmm. But life has to change if you want to share and commercialize or liberalize the airspace.
Yeah.
And so Europe is there, and just the USA is not, and it's going to need some really big, bold political moves, I think, to push it forward. And I like to think that we're setting a great example here in Europe and showing what it looks like. And I think you'll start to see, and our friends from Wing are 4 miles away from our operation in Dublin.
Yeah.
And we think that's great, right? And we're together showing everyone in Europe and in the USA how it's actually quite straightforward to share the airspace, and not to demonstrate that a monopoly could ever exist, but the airspace can be shared, and that the systems to share the airspace are relatively, at least from an engineering standpoint, very straightforward. And Europe does what Europe does well, right? Regulation. Europe loves to regulate stuff. And in our case, that actually is beneficial.
Nice. Interesting conversation. What I am excited about is the potential to reinvigorate local commerce. Because if you can have local commerce just to every kind of local store, just order from it, get it, great. How does that work? How does a store onboard with you? Do they have to have a rooftop location? Do they have to have space in their parking lot? How do you interface with a local store?
Yeah, so we categorize them. So we have, first of all, we have a dark store ourselves. So we have all the local vendors that have non-perishable products, so the bookstore, the hardware store, and they put the products in our actual physical location, and we just pick and fly from there. And then from the small vendors, so think the mom and pop restaurant in the suburb, we fly out to them and we pick up the product. So the order comes in, they get it on their point of sale terminal. They say they're preparing it. We get notified, the clock starts ticking. We let the consumer know through notification. And then when they say, they hit the button on their tablet to say prepared, i.e. the meal is prepared, our aircraft takes off, it flies to them, drops the winch, they load it, retracts it inside the aircraft, weighs it while it's retracting it, and then flies to the customer. Mm-hmm. And that's a difficult model to make work, but you need that to have the choice in terms of food for the consumers. And then the other one is the high throughput model, where we'll actually place a location. So we'll go on the roof of a vendor that has a lot of throughput.
Yep.
And we'll fly it straight from there. And we have all three in operation now in Ireland, and they're all valid and they're all required. There's no point entering a big suburb with only one or two high throughput restaurants. You need them all, and you need grocery, and you need coffee, and you need pints of Guinness, and you need pharmacy. You need it all.
So let's say I want to be one of those stores,
in that order.
And I want somebody to come pick up, you know, my whatever it is, food that's going. Do I have to have how much space do I need, you know, outside to enable that?
Yeah. You need about a 2-yard diameter flat,
tiny,
inanimate space. Yeah,
tiny.
Yeah, tight. We don't need a lot of space. And to be honest with you, the horizontal control of the aircraft is very good. So it can keep its position no matter what the wind, very tight. And its location, you know, assessment, i.e. the GPS and the accuracy of it, is absolutely superb. The difficulty comes when, so the reason we need 2 yards and not, you know, 5 inches, is because we pick up the product from a height of about 60 feet. And so the winch will actually blow in the wind.
Yes.
Yeah. So, I mean, it sounds like a circus, but we do this every day. The issue is physics, right? You can't stop that pendulum effect. So you need the 2 yards.
Yeah.
And that's that's the reason. But it's still, there's no, I mean, I envisage a world where there's people living at home, maybe retired even, and they're baking, you know, in Ireland, we love to bake brown bread, right? That's our thing. Soda bread, I think it's called internationally. You know, you could see a scenario where someone's baking bread all day and selling it online, and it's delivered to 30 square miles of customers within 3 minutes by drone. Yeah. We can make that happen. And then obviously the mom and pop restaurant right now, McKinsey did a great report on this a few months ago, but a restaurant loses money on every order that gets delivered. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that's not a great place to be, right? So
I don't know if you've seen the prices on Skip the Dishes lately, but it's a very different price than if you go to the store, if you go to the restaurant.
Yeah. Well, that's the only way to make it. But again, McKinsey again did another bit of work on this. And the average premium that has been paid by a consumer over restaurant prices is between 50 and 60%.
Ouch.
And yeah, ouch. But customers want it, right? They're willing to pay. But the problem is they're not willing to pay every day for that type of premium. They'll pay as a treat or once a week or once a month, whatever.
Here's the problem.
But it's not sustainable.
And here's the problem. You got this 50 to 60% premium, but you also get food that is not piping hot, not perfectly fresh.
Correct.
And for many people, maybe they don't care. Maybe they eat their food lukewarm. I have no idea. I have a thing. I want when it's hot food, I want it hot. And so that's why I just don't do Skip the Dishes very often. Or if we order pizza, we pick it up ourselves and we know how long it's going to take to get back.
I'm the same. Yeah. I'm the same. The irony is I never use food delivery because it's worse than it being not hot, because if you get like a Chinese meal or Indian or something, you can microwave it and it kind of survives. But all the packaging that comes in, the way it steams up, it changes the texture of the product. But most importantly, you don't know if you're getting it in 20 minutes or an hour in 20 minutes. That's the problem. Yep. You know, there's no way to know. And with drone delivery, you're going to know within the second when it's going to be arriving. Mm-hmm. And that's the big win. And then again, our average flight time as of the last 12 months, so a lot of data, 2 minutes, 40 seconds.
I mean,
so nothing changes. Your coffee is hot. Your French fries are crunchy and hot. Everything is the way it should be, as if you ate it in the restaurant.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Well, I wanted to end off with predictions. We've already pretty much covered that, but you've also broken my heart because I live outside Vancouver, Canada, and what you're saying is basically, you know, there's going to be some drone delivery. Obviously, Wing is operating and Amazon is trying and they're doing some rural stuff. You're coming to the U.S., but you're saying Europe is going to get there first in terms of scale and going most places, especially in their core urban centers. And so we're going to be sort of stuck looking out over the Atlantic in envy.
We'll send you lots of videos.
That is not helpful.
That's fine. You can, but can I just say, Canada will be the regulator in Canada, and there's been a lot of on visual line of sight work and very forward thinking regulator in Canada. Mm-hmm. And so I would say, actually, you know, Canada will be getting it around the same timeline as when companies like ours are ready to scale, and we're going through Europe. There's other markets that are also very interesting for us. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we can sandwich the United States with Mexico and Canada, that both seem to be in a position to enable drone delivery. So you're going to be okay in Vancouver, I think, so long as you're not in high rise, which you probably are.
I'm not.
I'm just trying to figure out your kitchen there, if that's a big skyscraper.
Have you considered a franchise model, Bobby? Rapid expansion.
Yeah, so of course. I'll consider anything. When we IPO, we'll start a franchise business, but not until.
Interesting. So anybody who's listening, I'm thinking about it myself. You could own a drone delivery franchise. Very, very cool. Bobby, as always, it's been a pleasure. Look forward to hearing the news about where you're going to land, figuratively and literally, in Europe, as well, mainland Europe, as well as the US. Thank you and have a great day.
Thank you very much.